Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. The Bible tells us, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, the Bible says, that he should not see death, that he was not found. Now Enoch was translated, the Bible says, that he should not see death because he pleased God. The Bible tells us, verse number 6 of Hebrews 11, that without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then we look at the faith of Noah, verse number 7. Then we look at the faith of Abraham and the faith of Sarah. As we begin this series of sermons entitled Champions of Faith, we go down to verse number 22. We began with Joseph. We've talked about Moses and his parents. We talked about the Passover. We have talked about the walls of Jericho. We have talked about Rahab. When we look at these individuals, we see champions of faith. In Romans 10 and verse 17, the Bible said, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Faith does not come as a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you want to know, has not anointed me. But the Word of God has anointed each one of us with the Word of God to do His will. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not by an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. The Bible teaches us that faith without works is dead, James chapter 2. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 1 of a common faith, a communicating faith. The Bible talks to us about a dedicated faith. So you and I look at this, and we talk about these champions of faith. Champions. We think about champions, and that is a champion that you and I read about in the Bible. And when you and I read in Hebrews chapter 11, and we read about Moses, and we read about Joseph, and we read about folks like Abraham, and we read about men like Noah, I think about Abraham, the father of the faithful. I think about Abraham and the blessing that God had said to him, "Through your seed will all nations of the earth be blessed." I think about Noah and that ark. I think about Moses leading those children of Israel in the wilderness. And you and I identify these folks as being champions. You and I may be sitting there thinking, where does that leave me? As a gospel preacher, I have greatly admired wonderful men who preach the gospel. I've never realized a time in my life when I didn't love to hear gospel preaching. When I was a student in college, I'd come home for the weekend. Brother James Watkins preached for the East Chattanooga, some congregation, I don't remember now, in Chattanooga. Oh, I'd go hear Brother Watkins, and I would sit there in awe at the knowledge of Brother James Watkins of the Word of God. I would go hear men preach Brother Charlie Lemons. At one time, he was one of the most dynamic preachers in our brotherhood. I look at these men as champions. I see men like George W. Bailey. What a gospel preacher Brother Bailey is. Brother V.P. Black was the epitome of a gospel preacher, as was men like Gus Nichols and Ira North. And I see these men as champions. But then I ask the question, what about those of us? We don't preach for congregations with 5,000. Maybe we do not preach for a congregation that has 800 or 900 or even 1,000. We had a brother here this morning, assembly in our worship, gospel preacher from Montgomery, Alabama, preaches in Selma, Alabama, for a small congregation, about 35. What about him? What about these little bitty congregations that have 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 people? And you ask the question, well, what about, are these men not champions? Then we come to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 32. See, prior to that, we've seen Noah and Abraham and Joseph, and we've seen Moses. But then when you come to verse number 32, And the Bible says, now, time will not permit me. What shall I more say then? Time will not permit me to tell you of Gideon and Barak. Men who are not Abraham's and Moses and Noah's. And so when I look at this verse in Hebrews 11 and I think about champions of faith, and it's kind of interesting there because one of the men who are mentioned in that passage is a man by the name of Gideon. I've entitled this lesson, if you want a title for it, The People God Uses. I like cartoons and the newspaper. Don't you like Peanuts? One day Linus said, Lucy, tell me a story. Well, Lucy didn't do anything. He said, Lucy, tell me a story. Well, he just kept after her. Tell me a story. Well, she, in an agitated way, said, okay, a man was born, he lived, and he died. Linus said, that makes you kind of wonder, doesn't it? What would be said about you? He was born, he lived, and he died. What about you, and what about Larry Acuff? I heard about a fellow by the name of Willie, and he died. And this fellow went to the funeral and noticed that the man who had employed Willie for many years was there, and so he went up to him and he said, sir, I'd like to apply to fill Willie's vacancy. And the employer said, Willie didn't leave a vacancy. What about you? You see, ladies and gentlemen, we may ask the question, if I'm not there, will I be missed? What kind of vacancy would I leave in the Lithia Springs congregation if all of a sudden I deceased? Would there be a vacancy here? Everyone's important. And so we simply ask the question, what kind of people does God use? And so we come to Hebrews 11, verse 32, and the Bible says, now, here is an individual by the name of Gideon. So I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapters number 6 and 7, because we're going to look very quickly at the life of this man Gideon, because as you and I begin to look at Gideon's life, number one, I've got five of these. What types of people does God use? Number one, God uses common people. You know, the Bible says not many wise are chosen. Now, that doesn't mean wise in the sense of knowing how to be a good elder or a deacon or a Bible school teacher or a parent. But what the Bible is simply saying is that, you know, folks, when you and I look at it, it is not the high class, quotation marks, it is not these individuals who have great accomplishments in life that God always uses. And so when you and I look at Gideon, turn your Bibles to the book of Judges chapter number 6 and skip down to verse number 14 and 15. Now the children of Israel, in the book of Judges there is a phrase that's used. The Bible says there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They had failed to follow the will of God. They had gone into adultery. God would punish them by letting some country come in and take them over. And that is exactly what has happened. The Midianites have dominated the children of Israel because they were wicked and they didn't continue to follow God. Folks, listen. I don't have time tonight to preach this, but if we do not follow God, we will pay the consequences. America will pay the consequences for failure to follow God. Israel, they got high and mighty. Israel, they reached the point where, hey, we don't need God. We can do everything on our own. And God punished them by allowing the Midianites. So now, once this occurs, they begin to cry out unto God. And so God sends an angel to a fellow whose name also is referred to as Zerubbabel, but he sends an angel to a man by the name of Gideon, and he said, oh, man, I like the way the Bible says, oh, thou man of valor. Are you sure he's a man of valor? Verse number 12? The Lord is with thee, thou mighty. Not only that, mighty man of valor. Now go with me to verse number 15. He said to him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? My family is poor in Manasseh. That's not all. He said, of my family that's poor in Manasseh, I am the least in my family. What about you? Wasn't it Abraham Lincoln said, Lord must love the common people, or common man, he made so many of them? How many of us sit in the pews and we say to ourselves, I'm not important. They won't miss me. I can't do anything. And you see, Gideon, the threshing floor was up on the mountain. And the reason is so that the wind, when they would do the threshing, it could blow the chaff away. And so what he had done in order to hide from the Midianites, he had gone down to where the wine press was. I'm the least. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it is the common person. Gideon, my family, we don't have anything. Not only, I am the least of our family. The kind of people God uses are common people. Second, the kind of people God uses are what I call cleansed people. Go down to verse number 24. In verse number 24, the Bible says, Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, and unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. What did he do? He built an altar. He worshiped. Listen, folks. We sing the song, Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but lost? Is thy heart right with God? You see, David made this statement. He said, God, if it was sacrifices you wanted, I could do that. But he said, you want a clean and contrite heart, Psalm number 51. You may be saying, why doesn't God use me? Maybe you ought to clean up your life. See, God is going to use those individuals whose lives are clean. I've seen individuals and they'll try to do good things. There's nothing wrong with doing good things. But there are individuals and many times they're not faithful in the kingdom of God, and so they think, listen, surely God is going to accept me if I'm good enough. No. It's the blood of Jesus, the grace of God, that makes you ready to do His work. So what kind of heart do you have? The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I've got a sermon idea. I've written it down. I got it at the mall. And there's a sign over at the mall, and it asks the question, what is in your heart? And the question is it cholesterol? So I wrote down a note to myself to prepare a sermon entitled, What's in Your Heart? Envy or strife or greed? So you see, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Gideon was clean. Number three, the kind of people God uses is not only those who are common or clean, but he uses courageous people. God said, here, Gideon, I tell you what I want you to do. War with the Midianites, and you send out a call, 32,000 men showed up. And God said, you got too many, send them home. Guess what he did? He said, those of you, listen, those of you who are afraid, go home. 22,000 of them went home. God can't use fearful people. You see, ladies and gentlemen, fear is the focus of failure. People who are fearful, they don't get anything done. Fear and action are two different things. God's looking for courageous people. God said, if you're afraid, go home. You know what Moses told them in Deuteronomy 20? Fear is infectious. And in Deuteronomy 20 verse 8, he said, now, if you are afraid, you leave. Because you're going to infect other people. God is looking, ladies and gentlemen, for courageous people. Let me give you number four. Not only is God looking for common people, not only is God looking for clean people, not only is God looking for courageous people, but He's also looking for cautious people. Watch this. You remember they still had 10,000. That's too many. And so God says, Gideon, take them down to the river and let them drink. Now He said, those who, you know, they just put their weapon down and they get down and lap the water up like a dog. Get them, get rid of them. Send them home. I can't use them. 9,700 of them did that. The army's gone. They only have 300. They were the cautious ones. They were able to look around. They were lapping the water up with their hands. You see, folks, caution sometimes is good. That's why we have caution lights. Be careful. You see, you and I need to be cautious in our lives. There are those who teach false doctrine. Are we cautious? We don't latch on to every wind of doctrine. Now, let me give you number five. And that is, not only does God need common people, clean people, courageous people, cautious people, but He needs confident people. God uses confident people. See, old Gideon was beginning to worry. He thought, wow. God said, let me tell you, Gideon, I'm going to tell you what to do. He said, Gideon, you get a buddy and y'all go down into the camp of the Midianites, which they did. And they go up and there's a tent, and so he kind of eases up and there's a conversation going on inside that tent. One of the guys said, you know what I dreamed last night? He said, I dreamed that there was a loaf of barley bread. And he said, that barley bread come rolling down the hill, rolled through our tent and destroyed it. And the fellow said, we have already been beaten. That was Gideon. That's Gideon. Gideon went back and he told them, he said, fellas, the war's over. We got it licked. Now you know the history of that. We've won. Why? God is on our side. See, Gideon was a champion of faith. Let me conclude this lesson. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl in this assembly who is not valuable to the kingdom of God. Not a one of you. God can use and will use every man, woman, boy, or girl in this assembly. Isn't that exciting? But I'll promise you that you have ability that can be used in the kingdom of God. My question is it available to God? Is it available to God? If it isn't, then you need to make it available.